Brother Pepper leading the singing, and Miss Amy for that special with him. And a great job today. Thank you for everyone stepping in and helping out. And really appreciate that this morning. Open your Bibles to anywhere. It's all good. Amen. But if you'd like to be with me, open it to Jonah this morning. And wanted to look at the life of Jonah and what a life he had. And I believe it's a life that we can really relate to. It's a life that, that we can learn from. And, you know, Jonah's a story that we've all learned from as a little child and learned the story of Jonah. But this morning I want to pull out a few things. Maybe it'll be a refresher. Maybe there'll be some new things that we can learn from the first few verses in the life of Jonah that we can really learn from. And I really do believe that Jonah is a life that we can really, really, really relate to in a great way. As our walk with Christ can be compared to the nation of Israel, as our life is compared to Jonah, Jonah had ups and downs. Just as the nation of Israel, they would serve God, they would be on the mountaintop, things would be going well, and they would be doing good. But, of course, we know that all of a sudden they would allow idols to come into their life, they'd allow things to come into their life that they put above God. And what would happen, they would fall by the wayside, they would, because of their idolatry, they would then become enslaved by, other people and other nations and other groups of people. And God would allow that to come into their life. Why? Because they allowed idols to get into their lives. Our lives can be summed up in a way that too often times I've seen believers and people in the faith that have allowed idols to come into their life that have caused them to really be enslaved in sin and really caused them to go in the wrong direction. We have to be careful not to allow idols to come into our life. Why? Because what a dangerous place to be. Well, I've never served a golden calf. I've never, made an altar and prayed to a cow or to an animal, or I've never done anything like that. An idol doesn't have to be a golden calf. It doesn't have to be something like that. It can be sports. It could be Facebook. It could be a favorite TV show. It could be anything. It could be anything that you put before God is an idol. So we have to be careful of that. And here we find out that as we relate to Jonah in our lives. And, Jonah is a man that thought, you know what? I'm going to do it my way. I got this. I can do it the way that I want to do it. And oftentimes in our lives, we get and say, God, I got this. I know what I'm doing. And boy, when we say, God, I got this, I know what I'm doing, we're headed for trouble. Here we find out Jonah's no different. God says, okay, fine, go your way. I see the end result of what is about to come, but go ahead and go do your own thing. You think you know what to do, but I see the end result of that. Here we find the story of Jonah. What a great thing that we can really learn from and focus on this morning, on the choices that Jonah made that caused him so much trouble. My friend, you're here today, you have a choice. If you're lost today, you have a choice whether you accept Christ or whether you reject him for salvation. If you're a born-again believer here this morning, you have a choice. Am I going to choose to follow God and what God has called me to do? Or am I going to choose to do it my way? What will be your choice? If you have your Bibles open to Jonah this morning, go ahead and stand in honor and reverence to the Word of God, Jonah chapter number 1, and we'll read in verse number 1. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his little G God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and he was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would really use this message this morning to speak out to the people that have chosen to come here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would use me as your mouthpiece, Lord. I feel like having church this morning. I feel like preaching. But Lord God, I can't do it on my own this morning. I need your help. For if I do it in my own power and my own strength, Lord, I'll fail miserably this morning. God, I pray that you would just use me. And Lord, the Holy Spirit work through me. And Lord, that you would speak to your people. in a great and mighty way. There might be a couple here. There might be one. I don't know. There might be 20 that are lost and undone on their way to hell. They've never accepted Christ. God, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. Lord, maybe there's a Christian here who's kind of been doing it their own way. God, I pray that they would realize that and get right with you and quit trying to do things their own way. Lord, continue to work your will and way. In Jesus' precious and holy name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. We look at verse number 1 here, going back to verse 1. The Bible says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Here we find out God is speaking unto Jonah. God is talking to him. And we all kind of know the story of what ended up happening to Jonah. We understand what kind of goes on here. If you've ever heard the story of Jonah, you know. So here we find out the word of the Lord is speaking unto Jonah. And God is talking to Jonah. And God is speaking to him. But we know the choice that Jonah's going to make. And we think to ourselves, well, if God is speaking to Jonah, how could he be so foolish and how could he be so ignorant, if you will, to not obey God? You know, oftentimes in our life, God will speak to us and God will talk to us and we'll ignore what God is trying to say. Oftentimes we try to block out, we want to do it our way. We don't really want to hear what God has to say. You know, oftentimes we think, and I mentioned this last Sunday night when I preached, if we put out on Facebook and if we put out in the newspaper, if anyone reads the newspaper anymore, do they? Does anybody read a newspaper anymore? All right, about two of you. All right, anyway, if you put it into Facebook, you know, and we put a big post out and it was on the news and whatever, you know, about God will be speaking here tonight. God himself is going to be here tonight and God is going to preach here tonight at Emmanuel. Can you imagine the crowd we've had here? Can you imagine there'd be a backup on 11? We wouldn't need a security team. We'd need the National Guard to show up to help us direct traffic and to deal with everything, right? Because there'd be so many people here and there'd be a line down 11 mile. Everyone would want to get to Emmanuel tonight to hear what God would have to say to his people. Folks, we have the Word of God right here. We have the Bible. We have the Word of God. But so oftentimes we go, I don't want to hear that. Here we find God is speaking unto Noah. Folks, we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. You know why the Bible says we need to be doers and not hearers only? Because if we don't, we're deceiving our own selves. So I pray this morning, just let's open up our ears. Let's open up our hearts. And let's quit playing church and let's get real this morning. Where are we at in our lives? Where are we at? Only you can answer that. Here the word of the Lord comes to Jonah. And he doesn't obey. Can I ask you a question? When's the last time God spoke to you? When's the last time you heard from God? A lot of times we break that communication from God because, you know what? We really don't pray anymore like we should. We don't do our devotions like we should anymore. We don't read the Bible anymore. When's the last time God talked to you? Folks, he talks to us through the Word of God, through the Bible. We talk to him through our prayer life. Here we find Jonah. Look at verse number 2. We know in verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Verse number 2, look what God says to Jonah. Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Here God says, hey, Jonah, here I want you to wake up. And here we find the Lord's command. Go to this great city called Nineveh. He says, I want you to go now. I don't want you to wait a year or two. I don't want you to do it when it's your time. But I want you to go now, Jonah. And God commands him to do that. You know what? Too often times God wants us to be available to serve him. But too often times in our life, and I believe in the life of Jonah here, we find out that he's fallen into the trap of conveniency. Too often times in Christianity and in our lives, we fall into being a convenient Christian. Let me tell you, be careful about being a convenient Christian. Too often times in our lives, we'll only serve God when it's convenient. We only show up for choir practice when it's convenient. We only, you know, serve God when it's convenient. We only pray when it's convenient. We only read our Bible when it's convenient. Be careful of convenient Christianity. It's a very dangerous place to go. And here we find out that Noah, I believe, has fallen into conveniency. He doesn't want to go. God is commanding him, saying, hey, you need to go, not when it's on your time, but I want you to go now. And cry to that great city. That city is Nineveh. Now, to understand Nineveh a little bit, it was a very mighty city. Nineveh, if you read about it and you find out that around their walls, not only you'll find out in chapter 2, I think it is chapter 3, that it was a 2 to 3 day journey to get through there. So you're thinking back then they would probably walk 10 to 15 miles in a day, you know, because they couldn't hop in a car and drive. So a day's journey would probably be somewhere between 10 to 15 miles in a day you could walk feasibly, especially back then they walked all the time. So you'd imagine this great city is about 30 to 45 miles long from one end to the other. And if you read about it, this great city, their walls that they had up protecting the city, the walls were 100 feet tall all the way around the city. And they had were 30 feet wide, and they would ride their chariots around the top of the wall and to watch it and protect it. And then in front of that, there was a 150-foot moat in front of that. So this is a great city. It's protected, and it's safe and secure. But we find out that Nineveh, there's been great wickedness that has come up before God. There's great problems and great wickedness going on in this city of Nineveh. And I think of Nineveh a lot like the United States of America. I'm thankful to be an American. Are you thankful to be an American this morning? Boy, I'm thankful that I wasn't born in Africa or Asia or some other country. I'm thankful to be American. But you know what? When we look around in America, I believe the wickedness of America has come up before God, much like the city of Nineveh. And if we look around and we live in a day and age where the Bible says in the last days that good will be called evil and evil will be called good. I believe we're in that day. What we need in America today is we don't need more of anything else. What we need, honest to goodness, what we need in America is a good old-fashioned revival. We need people to be revived again. I looked on Friday night, I went on Facebook, and I don't do Facebook a lot. I go every once in a while. I'm not real big on it, but I went on Facebook, and I was watching Brother C.T. Townsend down there in Bristol, Virginia, as they're having the revival down there. It was at about 120, but I guess the number came out later, that 137 people got saved Friday night down at the revival down there in Bristol. 137 people got saved. And that's not counting. That was one day. They're on week two. They're going to week three on Monday down there. And if you remember what happened last year down there and the great revival that took place, what we need is we need revival, folks. Not just down in a mountain down in Virginia. We need revival in Emmanuel. Amen? We need revival in our hearts. I need revival in my heart. We need to get revived for God and say, you know what? We no matter what's going on around us, no matter what's going on in America, we need revival. We need moms and dads to quit focusing on everything else. We need moms and dads to walk into a church and hear some good, godly preaching about, hey, we need to quit drinking. We need to quit smoking. We need to quit putting everything else in front of God and get our families back in church and get our families back serving God. That's what we need in America today. Here we find out Jonah wanting to do things his way. I will say this. I was watching Fox News, and I told this last Sunday night, but we got a lot more people here this morning. I was watching Fox News, and they were talking about, I believe it was over in Ireland, and they were talking about the fact that there was people on there, and some people were for it, some people were against it. But there was people talking about the fact that, I think it was Ireland. I'm trying to remember. It doesn't really matter. But how they're against abortion, wherever it was, and it's illegal. But now they're coming up, and they're going to have a vote on how abortion's okay, and they're going to have a vote to legalize abortion in this country. And they were talking about the fact that it was mostly a quote-unquote Christian country, but that's to be seen. But anyway, that it was a Christian culture and a Christian country, and they were talking about how great it was on how Christianity is progressing with the world. Isn't that wonderful that now Christianity is starting to accept the things of the world, and how progressive they are. Let me tell you something. I don't want to be a progressive Christian. I want to stand by what God has to say about the issues, not what the world has to say about the issues. Amen? I care what God has to say. So here we find God, look at verse number 2. It said, hey, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Here he's not only telling Jonah, I want you to go preach to those people in Nineveh. Their wickedness has come up before me. I want you to go preach, Jonah. But here's what I want you to do, Jonah. I want you to cry unto them, Jonah. Jonah, look at that. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Not just go preach. Go cry again. Have a burden. Hey, Jonah, get burdened about these people. Go and have a burden and cry and have a heart for these people, Jonah. Like Paul said in Philippians 3:18, for many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul had a burden for the enemies of the cross of Christ. He was weeping for them. He was burdened for them. We think about that for a minute. Who was the enemy of the cross of Christ? Anyone that says he's not the only way to get to heaven. So many people will say, well, if you take a baby and you sprinkle them with water on top of their head, they get to go to heaven. It's not what my Bible says. Some people will say, well, if you're a good person and you take all your good works and your bad works and you'll get up to heaven one day and they'll put it on a scale and whichever one, if your good outweighs the bad, St. Peter will let you in the gates. My friend, that's from the pit of hell. My Bible says that you have to call on the name of Jesus Christ. Realize that you're a sinner and that because of your sin, you can't go to heaven. But Jesus paid it all. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And because of his blood, you can get on your knees and realize, hey, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And you can accept Christ in your heart. Here, Paul is weeping for the enemies of the cross. We need to have that same mindset. We need to tell them. We need to keep our focus on telling people. Why? Because they need to hear it. I think of Rahab. Rahab got saved. When you think of Rahab in her life, Rahab didn't have a very good profession, did she? But boy, when those two men showed up at her door, remember what she said? She said, hey, someone's told me about your God. Hey, someone told me about the great works that God did. Hey, they told me about your God and parting the Red Sea. They told me about your God and all the things your God has done. And guess what? Someone told Rahab about God. Someone's got to tell him. Did somebody tell you about God? Did someone tell you about Christ? Leads me to this thought. These two men worked together for 20 years. These two men worked together for about 20 years. One day this man goes up to, we'll say Fred, goes up to Fred and says, Fred, I heard through the grapevine that you're a Christian, that you go to church. And the man, Fred goes, yeah, I go to church. Yeah, I've been going to church my whole life. And you know, well, where do you go? Well, we go over to the, you know, so-and-so Baptist church over here. Oh, okay. So his friend goes, well, how do you believe you get to heaven? You believe in heaven and hell? Yeah, yes, we do. Well, how do you believe you get to heaven? So Fred goes, well, I believe you get to heaven by through Jesus Christ, through his payment that he died, he rose again through the gospel. And his buddy goes, okay, well then, what happens, how do you go to hell, or what happens if you go to hell? And he goes, well, if you reject Christ, if you don't get saved, that you're going to die and go to hell. And the man goes, that's why I don't believe in Christianity. And it kind of took Fred back. Fred didn't really know what to do. Fred said, it kind of threw him off a little bit, and he goes, what do you mean? And the guy goes, well, I've been your friend for 20 years. And if you really believe that I would die and go to hell if I didn't accept Christ, then why haven't you told me? That's a convicting little illustration, isn't it? Why haven't you told me? You know, when you think of Penn, you heard of Penn and Teller, they're magicians out there in Vegas, whatever, Penn and Teller. Penn, the real big guy, he's a world-renowned atheist. Doesn't believe in God. Everyone knows he writes books about it. But you know what he does say? He says, I appreciate when a Christian will come up and try to witness to me. I appreciate when a Christian will come up and hand me a tract or try to give me a Bible or try to do something. Because you know what? If they do believe what they believe, then they should tell me. If they do believe in what they believe, then why? Then I expect them to come tell me because I'm saying I don't believe in it. We got to tell them, folks. Somebody told him. Here we find out verse number 2, arise, go to Nineveh and cry against them. Let me encourage you today, church, have a burden for the lost. Have a burden for them. Look at Jonah's response to verse number 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. Here Jonah says, you know what? He flees, he runs from the presence of the Lord. He says, I'm not doing it. Those people over there in Nineveh, they're crazy, they're wicked, they're evil. Rahab lives over there. She didn't, but I'm using an illustration. Rahab's over there and the wickedness over there. I'm not going to tell them. Those people are nuts. I'm not going to go and tell them. But let me tell you, it kind of reminds me of Gideon. If you remember the story of Gideon. Gideon, God came unto Gideon and said, Gideon, you're going to do a great thing here. You're going to lead the nation of Israel. And there was Gideon hiding from people, hiding from everything, hiding from God, living in sin, shouldn't have been doing what God has called him to do. And the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. You know, I think about that. You can run, but you can't hide. You know what you realize when God calls you to do something? You can run, but you can't hide. When God calls you to do something, I don't care where you think you can go, God's watching. God knows where you should be. You know where you should be. And there is Gideon hiding. An angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Let me tell you something. You might have a lot of people fooled. Teenagers, you might have your moms and dads fooled. Adults, you might have your husbands and wives fooled. You might have anybody else in your life fooled. But let me tell you something, church, this morning, you don't have God fooled. God knows where you should be. God knows where you need to be. And it's no different here in the life of Jonah. Here he is, and we find out that he's told to arise and go to Nineveh, and he flees from the presence of the Lord in verse number 3. And look what he does. Here he's thinking, thinking I got away with it. I can imagine this Jonah's fleeing from the presence of God, and he's getting on this ship, and he's probably thinking, ha, ha, ha. God told me to go that way, but I'm getting on this ship, and I got this all figured out. And God has no idea where I'm going, and God, I got this figured out. I can imagine. I just focus in. Think about that for a minute. Think about what he was thinking. Let me encourage you today, when God calls you to do something, he doesn't change his mind. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, and God wasn't changing his mind. When God has called you to do something, let me encourage you, church, he didn't change his mind. When God calls you to use your talents for the Lord, he doesn't change his mind. When God calls you to whatever ministry, if God calls you to sing in the choir, you need to sing in the choir. He didn't change his mind. When God calls you to teach a class, guess what? He didn't change his mind. He wants you to teach a class. When God calls you to preach the Word of God, let me encourage you, preach the Word of God. When God saved you, he called you to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Let me give you a newsflash. He hasn't changed his mind. God doesn't change his mind. And look what happens. Verse 3. He rose up, he's running from God, he flees, and he went down to Joppa, and look what he does. He finds a ship. Let me point this out. He goes down to Joppa. I do want to point this out. You remember, look in verse number 2. The Bible says God's will for him was to arise and go to Nineveh. But what did the Bible say that Jonah did? He went down to Joppa. He went down. You'll find out in the Word of God all the time. You always find it when people are doing God's will, they're always going up. You always find out in the Word of God when people are not doing what God's will is, they go down. You say, you know what? You think about that for a minute. What is God's will for my life? God's will is that we go up. God's will is that you're a saved, born-again believer. If you're lost here today, you know what God's will is for your life? That you go up. God doesn't want you to go to hell. God wants you to get saved. The Bible said he doesn't want anyone to die and go to hell. His will is for you to go up. But you know what people do? They say, well, I'm not going to believe that book, and I'm not going to believe that preacher, and I'm not going to believe that gospel tract, and I'm not going to believe what that Bible has to say, and I'm going to do it my way. And my friend, if we do it our way and not God's way, we're going to go down. We have to do it God's way. No matter in our Christian life, we have to do it God's way. Here we find out that the word of the Lord came unto him. And look what happens. I think this is unbelievable. He went down to Joppa, and look, when he started to go his way, look what happens. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. Here he gets down there. He should be serving God, and here God says, hey, I want you to preach and go to Nineveh. And as soon as that decision, when God calls him to do something, look what happens. The devil's transportation shows up. As soon as it's time to do what God had called him to do, the devil shows up and goes, oh, wait a minute, guys. I got a ship going the other way. For Jonah to get on. Here's another ship. You know what? When you start serving God, when you get saved, or maybe you've been saved, and you know what? You say, yeah, I'm going to teach a class. You know what? I'm going to sing in the choir. You know what? I'm going to start reading my Bible more, and I'm going to start doing this for God and doing that for. I'm going to start being more faithful to God, and I'm going to, you know what's going to happen? The devil's going to have a different way. The devil's going to have a ship come into your life and say, hey, I got a different way to go this morning. I promise you, when you start serving God the way you should serve him, the devil's going to make a way to say, hey, look what I got over here. Look where you can go. Look what I have showing up for you. Man, that party boat shows up, and man, it looks fun, and man, the devil makes that boat. I'm sure that boat looked great to Jonah. He said, ha, I don't have to go to Nineveh. I don't have to obey God. There's a ship going the other way, and boys, the party's fun. Man, look at all the fun they're having. Look at all the things they're doing over there on that boat. I'm out of here and I'm getting away from God. Man, no one's judging. No one's, there's no consequence. I can live like I want to. Oh, my friend, but you can't. Because look what happened to Jonah. when he found that ship in verse 3 going to Tarshish, look what happened. So he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it. Jonah had to pay a fare to get on that boat. My friend, if you're living in sin this morning, you're not living for God and not living the way that you should be living, let me tell you, my friend, there's a price to pay. There's a price to pay. Oh, but I'll get away with it. No, you won't. No, you won't. I promise you, you won't. If you're a born-again believer, you're not going to get away with it. Let me tell you, someone's going to pay the fare thereof. And if you're living in sin this morning, you're going to pay. You know those commercials, that party boat that's getting ready to leave. Oh, man, that looks good. If you turn on any TV today, if you watch any sports, if you watch any TV, you're flooded and your minds are flooded with alcohol commercials and beer commercials. And they show you how much fun it is to drink and how pretty everyone is and how the fun they're having. And hey, just come and join the ship. We're having fun. You know what they don't show you? They don't show you the guy sitting in the hospital with his liver rotting out of his body. You know what they don't show you? They don't show you the husband that comes home and beats his wife and children because he was at the bar. You know, they don't show you the divorce. They don't show you the broken homes. They don't show you the destruction in the families that it can cause. They show you the ship that's going the other way. Boy, how the devil makes that ship look good. Has there been a ship in your life saying, hey, come this way? People today want to blame God. People today, when they fall under hard circumstances, they want to say, you know, they want to blame somebody or blame anything they can. But let me tell you, when you don't do it God's way, that fare will cost you. Look what happens. For sake of time, I've got to move on here. He paid the fare thereof, went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Look at verse 4. So what happens? But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken. Boy, Jonah goes and he does it his way. And what happens? A storm shows up. I'm going to go and do it my way, but God sends a great and mighty storm to show up in his way. Sometimes in our lives we will face storms. I promise you, you will face a storm. And not every time you face a storm in your life, it's because of sin. God has many, many different reasons for a storm showing up in your life. A lot of times it can have nothing to do with sin in your life, but sometimes it can. And when a storm shows up in your life, I believe the first thing that you should do is get on your knees and say, God, is there anything in my life that I need to get right with you? Because sometimes God will bring a storm in our life when we're heading down to Joppa to say, hey, wake up! You're going the wrong way. Here the ship is going the other way. Oh, this storm rolls in, and here there's a storm rolling in. And look at verse number 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his own God. Can you imagine that storm? Think about that for a minute, guys. Think about it. Here's these mariners. These are people that live on a ship. That's their job. They've been at sea for a long time. That was their duty, their job. And all of a sudden the storm rolls up and they're afraid for their life. They're all saying, we're going to die. This had to be quite a storm. Because there's been a lot of storms that had rolled through those mariners' lives that they've been through, but this was different. Here, this was a great storm, and here the mariners are afraid, and they all cry out to their little G gods. And let me point out to you, when the storms of life come, people will cry out to their God, whether it's a big G or a little G. I found out, if you remember when Tiger Woods and everything fell apart in his life, and that one day, and everything came out about things that he was doing and everything. If you remember right after that, you remember what he did? He said, to get back to where he needed to be, he said, well, I'm a Buddhist. And he told everybody, hey, I'm a Buddhist, and I'm going to get right, and I'm going to go through all the process and the steps and get cleansing and get right. And immediately he said, hey, my God is Buddha. When the storms of life rose up, my God is Buddha, and that's who I'm going to follow. Let me tell you something, church. When a storm of life rolls into your life, where do you run? Where do you run? A lot of people will run to God. A lot of people, when the storm rolls in, they go, oh, God, I need you. I got a storm in my life. But other people will say, you know what? I'm going to run to everything else. I'm going to run to alcohol. I'm going to run to drugs. I'm going to run to the world, things of the world. I'm going to run to this little G God. I'm going to run to everything else. I'm going to run from God and because I'm mad at God, because God brought this in my life, and it shouldn't be there. And they get mad at God. and bitterness and anger fills their heart. You know how many people are out of church today? You know how many people that could be sitting in the pews today that have had a God maybe brought a little storm in their life and said, hey, get back in church. And they ran from God and said, no, I'm not going to do that. And now, where are they at? Where'd they run to? Here the mariners were afraid in verse number 5. Then we get down to look at verse 5. And cast forth wares that they were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down. Notice every time it refers to Jonah after God told him to rise and go to Nineveh, every time it refers to Jonah after that, when he started to do it his own way, it's down. Verse number 3, Jonah went down to Joppa. The end of verse 3, and he went down into the ship after he paid the fare. Verse 5, but Jonah went gone down into the sides of the ship. Let me tell you, friend, God's way is always up. Let me reiterate that again. God's will for your life is for you to live up here, not to live in a low life of sin. I promise you it is. What do you choose to do? Jonah had a choice. You have a choice. He went down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? So here the shipmaster goes down into the storm, and the storm is going all around Jonah, but he doesn't care. There he is, falling asleep down into the ship. And, you know, it's really one thing that God has to wake Jonah up. It's one thing for God to say, hey, wake up. There's a storm. Hey, wake up. I want you to go to Nineveh. And what you did, you know, in verse number 2, arise. Hey, come on. Let's go. We got a job to do. But it's another thing when the shipmaster has to go down and say, hey, Jonah, I need you to wake up, buddy. There's a storm going on. You know what the shipmaster, I believe, represents in this passage? I believe he represents a lost Christian. Shipmaster wouldn't represent another believer. We already know that. They called under their little G gods. So here's a lost man running down to Jonah and saying, Jonah, wake up. There's a storm going out here. Call unto your God. We need your help. Let me tell you, friend, the world is calling out, whether you can hear their voice or not, and saying, hey, we're lost. We're on our way to hell. We need your help. Tell me about Jesus. Be a witness. Live your life to show me Christ. And they're calling out, and the world's calling out and saying, as we look at the world going so far this way, the world is crying out saying, we need your help. Please help. Here the mariners run down to the ship. They say, Jonah, we need your help. Help me. It's time to wake up. Where have we been? What choices have we made? Where are we at in our life? The world, the lost around us, crying out. If you haven't noticed, that actually there really is, well, I don't know about now, but there really is a storm going on outside, if there is any more. But we look out in the world today, as I said, there's a storm going on. Are you going to tell them they can get out of that storm? Hey, there's safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, you can get out of the storm. You don't want to know. You know what the storm is? It's called the devil, and it's a big storm. And you know what the devil's trying to do? He's trying to send, and he's trying to take as many people to hell as he can. And the devil wants nothing more than for you to keep your mouth shut about it. Don't tell him. Don't do what God told you to do. Don't hand out a gospel tract. Folks, there's a lot of things in our life that are important. And you know, there's things that we need to do in our lives. And I think, you know, we need to keep our focus on Jesus Christ and giving out the gospel, using every opportunity we can to give him glory and to give him praise. So I want to wrap this up and bring it to a conclusion. We know what happened. I'm not, for time's sake, we won't read. They end up throwing Jonah overboard. They say, hey, they know it was him. They knew because of who he was. Hey, you believe in that big G God. Hey, we know who you are. Get him out of here. We need to get him out of here. He's causing the trouble because he's running from God. So what they do, they threw Jonah overboard. And we know at the end of verse chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. We know that fish is a whale. It tells us that in Matthew 12, 39 and 40. But here a big whale comes up, and the Bible says, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So here they throw Jonah overboard, and here he is in the belly of a fish, of a great fish, a whale, that God, a special fish that God had prepared for him. In chapter 2, it says that then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Can I encourage you, my friend, today, and I promise you, before you get into the fish's belly, it's a good time to call out to God. So many people wait till they end up here before they finally realize, I need God in my life. I need the Lord. Do it before that, but here, let me point this out. Look at verse number 2. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. That last thought, out of the belly of hell, I cried. If you're lost this morning, as I told you before, if you're here this morning, whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell, it all comes down to what? A choice. God wants you to go up. God wants you to get saved this morning. But there's only one way to heaven. And it's not by water. It's not by your good works. It's not by putting money in the offering plate. It's not by, you know, how much money you gave to St. Jude. When you stand before God one day, God's going to say, did you accept my son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior? And it's a yes or no. It's not multiple choice. It's not, well, my dad was a preacher. Oh, my mom went to church. My mom took me to church when I was a kid. Can't save you. Can't save you. What's your choice this morning? Out of the belly of hell I cried. For the church this morning, what's it going to take to wake us up? What's it going to take? What's it going to take for Jonah to wake up? Go cry. Go to Nineveh and preach. Give them the gospel. Do what I called you to do. No, I'm good. I'm going to do it my own way. Okay, Jonah. Well, here's what's going to happen. Don't let it get to that point in your life, my friend. There's a consequence to doing it your own way. You say, yeah, but I've been doing this and I've been doing that for 15 years and God's never brought a whale into my life. You better check your salvation. You say, you're telling me I'm not saved, Brother Ryan? No, sir, I'm not telling you you're not saved. But the Bible says if we're a born-again believer, that we're a child of the Father. And when I tell my son, Gabe, wherever he's at, somewhere in here, when I tell Gabe or tell my boys, hey, go clean your room. It's dirty. And I go back and a couple hours later and the room isn't cleaned. Guess what? I get a little aggravated. And I say, go clean your room. And of course, you know, after about 4 or 5 tries, whatever it is, you get my point. Go clean your room. Go clean your room. Go clean your room. At some point, there's something more going to happen than go clean your room. Amen. There's going to be a little bit more persuasion involved in cleaning the room. That's how it works. If you're a born-again believer, God doesn't just bring the hammer down. Oh, I sinned. There comes God. Boom. Doesn't work that way. My God's not like that. But God will say, hey, quit it. Hey, come on, knock it off. Hey, you got to get right. But eventually, God will say, fine. You want to keep going down to Joppa? Here's the boat. Go ahead. There's the whale. There's the ocean. And out of the belly of hell he cried. Of course, if you're a born-again believer, you can't lose your salvation. You can't go to hell if you're a born-again believer. But you can lose rewards. And you can really blow it. Can I encourage you this morning? There's a choice to be made. Are you going to go to Nineveh? Or are you going down to Joppa? What is it going to be, my friend? If you're lost this morning, Miss Bonnie, as you want to come, Brother Pat. If you're lost this morning and you've never accepted Christ. Say, yeah, but you don't understand. I can't get saved today. You have no idea about me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the sins in my life. God doesn't care. That's why God died for you. He covered those sins for you. He died. He took upon sin. He became sin for you. That he could die for you and shed his blood. It's so easy. The gift of salvation, it's easy. He died on the cross for you. He died, he was put in the grave. But guess what? He didn't stay there. He arose again the third day, beating death, hell, and the grave. You know why he did that? He didn't do that for self-glory. He did it for you. I'm thankful we serve that God. And salvation is so easy, my friend. Let's call out upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. Realize you're a sinner. Realize because of your sin, you've been separated from God the Father. You cannot enter into heaven with sin in your life. But if you come bow before the Lord and say, Lord, I realize that I'm a sinner. And I realize that you died on the cross for my sin and rose again the third day. I want to accept you into my life, forgiving my sin. Guess what? You're going to heaven. that easy. It's not hard. What choice are you going to make? Oh, I'm not going to believe that Bible. I'm not going to believe that preacher. Okay, my friend. It's your choice. What choice do you make? Believer, what choice do you make? Where is God calling you? What's God telling you to do? Where's your focus at? Is God calling you to maybe get back in the choir again? Maybe God's calling you to teach again. Maybe God's calling you just to be faithful, more faithful. Whatever God is calling you to do, there's a choice. When you got saved, Christian, you had a choice, and you said, I choose Jesus. What choice do you have now? Am I going to serve him, or am I not going to serve him? You got a choice. What's your choice? As we stand, what number we got, Brother Pat? 24, the altars are open. Please come.